This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here's your top stories this Friday. A fire broke out at the Sun Deck restaurant on Aspen Mountain yesterday. No one was hurt, as Aspen Public Radio Sarah Torrey reports.
The Aspen Fire Department received a call for a smoke alarm in the Sun Deck restaurant yesterday morning. The call came in just before 7:30. Daniel Palmer is with the Aspen Fire Department. He says, luckily, the fire occurred before the lifts had opened.
A different time of the day, I think this would have been a very different situation. We got very fortunate with the timing of this call and when it happened.
Fire crews used the gondola to reach the top of the mountain. Meanwhile, it was a powder day, and the base area filled up as skiers waited for the Silver Queen gondola to open. Crews extinguished the fire just after 9:15, and lifts opened shortly after. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Sarah Torrey.
The full extent of the damage and exact cause of the fire are currently under investigation. Aspen One says the Sun Deck will be closed again today while the company assesses what repairs are needed. They'll be providing food and beverages at an outdoor grill instead. The Roaring Fork Transportation Authority says the Hogback service between Glenwood Springs and Newcastle will continue unchanged. Any potential service cuts would impact only Silt and Rifle, which are not RAFTA member communities. Regional partners are working on funding solutions to preserve service to those towns. RAFTA says it recognizes the route's importance along the I-70 corridor and will continue addressing funding challenges and long-term solutions. In arts and culture news, the Palm Tree Music Festival begins today at Rio Grande Park. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports that the festival will look a little different than last year.
Belly Up, which organizes the festival, went to Aspen City Council almost a year ago. It wanted to add a second story to the festival's VIP tent, a move that would add 6 vertical feet to the tent and hold up to 1,000 additional attendees. Belly Up also asked for 3 more days at Rio Grande Park to set up the tent and accommodate extra attendees with increased vendors and security. Some representatives from the Aspen Center for Environmental Studies said they were worried about noise, since typically speakers point toward the Wildlife Center next to the park. But Belly Up partner David Goldberg said that this year's taller tent is a solution.
This bigger stage, taller stage, allowed us to directionally aim the speakers down at a different angle towards the crowd. We've spoken with ACES numerous times as well. The sound levels down there were far below what the threshold was.
Council members said they were looking forward to seeing if the noise is actually reduced this year. The festival runs today and tomorrow from 2 to 10 p.m. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Regan Mertz.
Belly Up will also soon be announcing the lineup for its second Up in the Sky concert at Buttermilk in the fall. In statewide news, a new federal definition of legal hemp set to take effect in November could significantly narrow which products can be sold nationwide. Under the new rules, hemp products could not have more than 0.4 milligrams of THC per container. That's a threshold many in the industry say would essentially be a ban on a wide range of items currently on store shelves. The change would affect products such as tinctures, gummies, and topicals that have grown in popularity in recent years. Megan Agnew and her husband farm hemp in Custer County in southern Colorado. She says the new rules will impact not just hemp producers, but also consumers who use hemp products as alternatives to pharmaceuticals for managing conditions like pain, anxiety, and sleep issues.
If we take this away, this would drive so many people back to pharmaceuticals, back to things that are not only intoxicating, but also addictive.
Colorado's congressional delegation split along party lines on the vote that redefines hemp. All the Republican representatives voted in favor of the bill, while all of Colorado's Democratic members voted against it. Governor Jared Polis opposes the new rules, saying the state has been defining progress in the hemp industry and taking steps to regulate hemp responsibly. Similar restrictions on hemp have already been adopted in some states, including Tennessee and Ohio. And in regional news, the upper and lower basins of the Colorado River remain deadlocked on how to allocate water amid historic and worsening drought conditions. Last weekend, they let another deadline pass without submitting a plan to the federal government. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanis has more on what's next.
The operating guidelines for the river expired at the end of 2025, and new ones need to be in place by October. That marks the point when most precipitation in the basin will fall as snow rather than rain. Before then, any federal plan would need to go through an environmental review and public comment period, which is usually a lengthy process. Elizabeth Cobley at the University of Nevada, Reno, says the door is still technically open for the states to weigh in, but they're running out of time. She says it might help if the federal government picked its preferred plan.
I think that might help move the negotiations forward because it really puts something concrete on the table that the federal government plans to do to manage the river in the absence of a consensus-based alternative.
She says people are likely more aware of water issues now because of how dry this winter has been, which puts more public pressure on decision makers. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
The Indigenous Land Back movement continues to chalk up wins across the country, with tribes regaining their ancestral lands. The latest is the Washoe tribe, which just acquired more than 10,000 acres north of Lake Tahoe. It's the third largest land return in California's history, as Marielle Day reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
The Washoe tribe finalized the purchase of the land in partnership with organizations like the Wildlife Conservation Board. The land spans across from the northeast of Lake Tahoe and to about 20 miles north of Reno. Washoe Tribal Chairman Cyril Smokey says this is an opportunity for the tribe to revitalize their traditional practices, stewardship, and language preservation.
The Washoe people being removed from our lands, hard-fought to get every little bit back, and now we actually have something to call ours.
Although the preserve is the first under the Washoe Land Trust, they hope to acquire more of the Washoe homelands. In the meantime, Smokey hopes to start restoring the land and focus on conserving the wildlife and its natural resources, while ensuring it's a safe place for everyone. Marielle Day, KUNR News.
The Interior Department is reviewing signs at national parks and monuments as part of President Trump's agenda to, quote, restore truth and sanity to American history. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Gabriel Peterazio reports that one of those signs features a legendary Navajo leader.
To Navajos, Ganado Mucho, or Many Cattle, is like a folk hero. He went on the long walk, marching hundreds of miles to be held at a New Mexico fort until he and other leaders signed an 1868 treaty.
And he wasn't defeated in the easy binary of stories that are winners and losers. But peacemaker doesn't mean you're not a resistor.
Farina King is Diné and a University of Oklahoma professor. She says Mucho's legend may be at odds with how the U.S. wants to remember its past on the heels of the nation's 250th anniversary.
The thorns in the side, it's a disruption to the celebratory stories of manifest destiny, conquering the West, taming it, and subjecting indigenous peoples as if they're just a part of a wild landscape.
Once freed, Mucho then met fellow trader John Lorenzo Hubble and kept making peace in the Southwest, settling disputes, often between Mormon ranchers and Navajos. In 1878, Hubble set up his iconic trading post, still open to this day, and would rename that area, hence Ganado, Arizona. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.